It's that time of year again, the one month we are legally obligated to pay attention to black culture. I'm Frank, and I'm joined by Darren Patterson, co-host of the Virgin Chronicle, stand-up comic and writer. Darren, how are you doing?
I'm doing very well. Thanks, Frank. Thanks for having me.
Well, thank you for volunteering to guide us in this primer on black geek culture. So we're going to examine a couple of characters that you think that the really white audience of Nonproductive can sort of follow up on and learn how to be just like a little bit less white, like a little bit less drastically white. You know what I'm talking about by white? You've seen some of these people.
Like,
God.
Like a mailing envelope. Just white as white can be.
Almost intolerably white. But
like the blizzard outside, that white.
Exactly. So like any good Black History podcast, we spent 5 minutes talking about white people. And now let's talk about black characters that you want to talk about and want to kind of like explain to why to our audience why you love them so much.
Sure. All right. Well, I know there's like a few black characters that like, you know, most people know off the bat, like, you know, of course, Lando Calrissian.
Oh, yeah.
He's a big one. Blade. You got Blade. You can't miss that.
Oh, of course.
But, like, there's a couple of ones that I didn't even know about until recently, like, especially last year. Of course, the two big ones in the Marvel world, of course, were Luke Cage and the Black Panther.
Mm-hmm.
And there were two guys that I really didn't know about. Like, I'm not a huge comic book guy. But I do really enjoy the Marvel movies and the DC movies. So when I found out about Luke Cage was coming out, it was like, oh, yeah, it's this character, it's this black dude in Harlem who has, like, you know, these superpower strength, and he's bulletproof, and he punches walls with his fists. I was like, oh, all right. I can see this happening. I can dig it. Like, if you've seen the Netflix show, it's very much like a blaxploitation film, too. It's predominantly black cast. The music is very kind of like funky and retro, and there's hip hop, but it also has like a soul element to it. And I would start there for anybody who wants to kind of know about the black experience, because it does talk about the, like, it integrates like this whole story about, you know, about good and evil and whatnot, and but it also integrates parts of the black experience within it, and like it uses type of things that black people go through that maybe white people wouldn't quite know about.
Yeah, and you know, it's a modern take on, like you said, blaxploitation films from the 70s that you're not going to sit there with a primer and watch a decade's worth of movies, but this gives you a good idea of the style that they're trying to evoke. And it's by all measures, it does a great job of it.
Yeah, absolutely. It's really incredible. Like I said before, I'd never read the comic books. I didn't know really what to expect. But then I got this. First time I saw it, I was like, it kind of hit me. Like, I'd never really seen anything quite like it. It's especially in the Marvel universe, let alone like the superhero universe. I mean, of course, you know, there's Blank Man, of course, but that doesn't really.
We could do 3 hours on Blank Man alone, man.
Oh my god,
yeah, so good.
I have many thoughts on that.
Reams and reams of research. And I guess maybe a note on like geek cred. When I hear a lot of people say, like, very sheepishly, I don't really read the comics. I like the movies, but, you know, I don't know enough or I don't know a lot. But, like, I don't think that's accurate at all. I think you can't underestimate how important these movies have been to geek culture and for even the comics that they're based on. Iron Man, in my opinion, and we've talked about this a couple of times on the network, he was not like an A-lister before Robert Downey Jr. And that movie, right? So, like, this is
from
big.
What I've heard, though. Yeah.
It's big having your own TV show. And it's going to be, like, I think you're about to talk about Black Panther being featured in a major motion picture is big, and then getting one is potentially huge.
Right. Well, no, also I was going to touch up on it. Like, that's always something I've always kind of been worried about, like, how calling myself a geek. I mean, I am a geek, but I'm not, like, I guess, like, I'm not, like, a, you know, fifth tier, like, level 5 geek. I'm, like, maybe level 2 or 3. Because I'm one of those guys who... When they showed the first Avengers movie, and then they showed at the very end, you know, Thanos and the rings, I was one of those people that didn't know who that was and didn't get it. Like, I felt, you know, you could felt, I felt like a shift in the room where, like, when I saw it in the theaters, like, some of the geeks were like, oh my god, they're showing Thanos! But, like, but there were other people that were like, who's that? Just that looks like the Hulk, but not quite.
Right, right, yeah. No, I got that. That was,
That's always something I've been conscious of.
Hellboy's dad, somebody said. And I was like, all right.
Hellboy's dad.
Could be.
Is Papa Hellboy going to be in the next one?
Wow, they got this comic book thing down packed. Yeah, I don't hold stock with geek cred at all. And I definitely think when you do stuff like that, you end up putting blinders on. And then when something significant comes along, like, I know Netflix, it's weird. Like, Netflix itself is sort of new, so people don't really know what the significance is of it yet. And then, you know, comic book movies and stuff are new, so people don't really know what the significance of that is, maybe. I mean, obviously, they're making all the money in the world, so they're beginning to realize. Right. But, like, saying that a show like Luke Cage was a hit on Netflix, don't underestimate it just because, you know, someone didn't read the comics beforehand. Don't belittle the huge potential it will be that, like, Black Panther is getting its own movie. That line is getting its own movie, and the cast and crew seem to be predominantly Black.
Yeah, that's amazing. I think, like, once, like, Guardians of the Galaxy and, like, Deadpool made the money it did, and they were not big tier characters, I think that's when people are like, oh, we can just go into the archives and get all these characters that no one really knew about and start making some money, including Black Panther. He's a character I totally didn't know about. I think my wife's a huge comic book, geek too, and, like, she still buys comics to this day. I think she knew a little bit about him, or definitely more than I did. So, like, once we saw him appear in the last Captain America movie, she was like, really, like, oh, they're doing it. They're putting him in.
This is our moment.
Yeah, I know. It's exciting too, and it's. I mean, well, for those that know, Black Panther, from what I've gathered, is this prince of this African country. I guess he's now a king because his father. Well, I don't know if it's spoiler, but it's, you know, because his father passed away in the Captain America movie. But he's also like this superhero called the Black Panther, it's sort of been passed down from generation to generation. He's like a wealthy man. He's like more wealthy than Tony Stark, and he's this royal king who also fights crime in this this cat suit.
That's right. Yeah, he's got the he's basically, God, it's like he's Batman, but he controls a country. There's a big mythology behind him, so there's like a lot of mysticism there. And that's cool. It's like Wakanda is the most advanced nation on Earth. And I didn't read a lot of Black Panther growing up. Most of what I knew about Black Panther was when he appeared in other books. But like, I don't ever remember it being an issue. It was just like, yeah, Wakanda's going to have super technology, like, everywhere. And they're going to be, like, you know, traditionalists, but they also have, like, the most advanced technology possible and deep mysticism. And all of that is presented, like, why not? Like, why can't we have sci-fi that has this kind of reality to it? And I think that's pretty damn awesome.
It is. I applaud it. And, like, they showed the full cast, and it's, like, with the exception, like, Martin Freeman, it's like it's a whole Black cast in this big budget, action superhero movie. And again, like, I've never, with the exception of the Meteor Man, I've never seen that in my life, and it's just like amazing.
Oh man! So we brought up Blank Man and Meteor Man.
I really want to drop those in somewhere.
Yeah, perfect. Absolutely excellent. Yes.
Yes, yeah. And it had this movie with, like, Lupita Nyong'o and Chadwick Boseman and Michael B. Jordan and, like, Angela Bassett, and it's just like my God, it's a stacked deck.
All right, yeah. So you got some of the big comic book hitters out there. Right. Anything else that you have, that a character that you think maybe means a lot to you personally, that you that maybe you grew up with or something like that?
Yeah, well, one that means a lot to me personally. I first chose this character to be, like, just be kind of cute, but, like, the more I think about it, the more I like it, and the more I do think he deserves a spot in, Black geekdom. Some of your younger listeners might not know about him, but, guys, if you ever watch this movie called Barry Gordy's The Last Dragon, you will see a character named... Leroy Green.
You say the whole title when you say that movie. Barry Gordy's The Last Dragon. The whole damn title. You can't just say The Last Dragon.
Of course, you gotta show respect, man.
Yes, yes. And I think
dude created Motown, and then gave us The Last Dragon.
What was the character's name again? I may have talked over you.
It's okay. No, his name was Leroy Green, but everybody called him Bruce Leroy.
Oh, so good. So good. Bruce Leroy.
Bruce Leroy. So for those that don't know, it's this movie that takes place, it's from like 1985, takes place in New York, so New York in the 80s, and it focuses on this character named Leroy Green, who everybody calls Bruce Leroy, and he's obsessed with martial arts and Bruce Lee, and he's constantly, you know, practicing martial arts, and he's actually really good at it, and he, like, practices with this old man that lives in a houseboat on the Hudson River for some reason, and he meditates on, you know, rooftops in the projects and whatnot, and he dresses like an Asian stereotype type thing, where he has, he dresses like a Mortal Kombat character, where he has, like, that wicker hat with the point.
Right.
It's, you know, it's widely offensive. I'll give you that.
Yeah, you're right. So the second part of Black History Month is mocking every other culture out there. Yeah.
It's applied. Mm-hmm. And so, like, he's this martial arts artist who's just sort of out of step with everything that goes on in you know, modern day, you know, New York. So there's also this other character called, and he's probably one of the greatest villains in cinema history.
Yes, yes.
Named Shonuff, the Shogun of Harlem. Mm-hmm. And believe me when I say, just the name alone is just perfection. But to see him in all his glory is just, like, phenomenal. I mean, he's just, like, this guy who has, like, the Venetian blind sunglasses, like Kanye West had to bring back. And he always has, like, an army of this posse of people with him. And he also is, like, a martial artist, and he dresses, you know, bizarrely. And he's always trying to fight Bruce Leroy for, like, you know, for some reason or other. Like, I think one of his henchmen in the scene said, oh, Bruce Leroy is the only person that stands between Shonuff and total supremacy. Or something like that. I don't know.
Yeah, it's so good.
Downtown Harlem? I don't know. Whatever. Mm-hmm. Just go with it.
Yeah.
So, like, and of course, Bruce Leroy doesn't want to fight him, so he's always ducking him, so, and, like, you know, Shonuff is basically his nemesis. And then there's also the scene where he also gets involved with this guy named Eddie Arcadian, who's a bit of a deranged media mogul, and he's trying to get his artist on this sort of, like, American Bandstand Soul Train type show hosted by Laura Charles, the lovely Vanity. Then Laura Charles doesn't want his artist on the show, and then he goes crazy and kidnaps her, and Bruce Leroy comes to her rescue, and then, like, it gets messy.
Yeah, absolutely.
So it's a lot of kung fu. It's very, I'll admit, it's kind of cheesy, but it's a movie with a lot of heart, and I just love it.
Absolutely, it's a great movie. It's mm-hmm. definitely an 80s movie.
It reeks
of 80s. But again, just like Luke Cage, it's a great movie for, like, setting up like a little bit of blaxploitation, but specifically that weird intersect that is blaxploitation and, like, I guess kung fu movies, you know?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
If you're a fan of, like, kung fu, because they do splice in a lot of, like, Bruce Lee movies within it. And so if you're like kung fu movies and blaxploitation, it is a little bit of both. But I also liked it when I was a kid because I mean, there was, like, some things about it that, like, I kind of realize now that he was, like, the first black nerd in a way, because, like, he doesn't dress like all the other black kids dress like, and he's out of step with whatever's going around him. Like, he doesn't know what's hip and cool. He doesn't talk hip and cool. He kind of talks in, you know, father son, mother son, that type of sort of old speak. Mm-hmm. And he's also a virgin, which I thought was interesting. Like, he's also very awkward around women. And, like, you know, I mean, all those things are pretty, you know, pretty synonymous with nerds, too. He's obsessed with, like, Bruce Lee and martial arts, much like somebody else would be obsessed with video games and anime.
I never thought about that before. You're right. He's otaku. He's, like, an anime fan, effectively. But with, well, specifically.
Yeah, very much so. Wow. Yeah.
Holy crap!
Yeah, and he dresses up like a Mortal Kombat character, much like somebody who dresses up in cosplay would do if they were obsessed with Lord of the Rings or whatever.
Yeah.
I mean, he was like the first black weirdo nerd.
He would definitely would have went to Comic-Con 100%.
Yeah. Exactly. You go to Comic-Con, he's just one of the guys. Huh. He was doing it before it was cool.
Yeah. Yeah, that's definitely cool. All right, yeah, I definitely like it. I do, I appreciate it. And Barry Gordy, I have no idea how he got involved in this movie. I'm sure there's some sort of a behind the scenes thing, but the fact that Barry Gordy produced this film, weird.
Yeah, you know he produced it because there's that one scene where Laura Charles is on her American Bandstand type show, and she goes, all right, you crazy kids, now we're going to dance to this hot new song that's burning up the charts, El DeBarge, Rhythm of the Night. And then they play like a good 2 or 3 minutes of El DeBarge's Rhythm of the Night, if not the entire song.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I love Rhythm of the Night just as much as the next guy, but even I knew that they were shoehorning that thing in.
Yeah, when it's several minutes of El DeBarge in the middle of your movie, then you know that it's a Barry Gordy joint. All right.
We gotta move these cassette tapes, come on.
Put it in. Man, that's awesome. And then at the end, he shows her some moves. Spoiler alert. All right.
Yes.
So those were three great characters. You got anything else for us? Or
I mean, there's a few other, of course, big characters. Like, I would say Samuel Jackson's a big one, too, because he played two. He played, like, Mace Windu in the early Star Wars prequels, which, you know, a lot of people don't want to talk about. And he was also Nick Fury. Because, like, I'm not a comic book guy, but from what I understand, Nick Fury was a white gentleman in the comic books, and then they made him a brother, and now people seem to be okay with it now.
Yeah, I think that's the lesson we should learn, Black History Month, is that black people did it first, before it was cool. That, you know, making people black makes them better.
That's right. Yeah. So let Miles Morales and them do their thing, and then everything will be gravy.
Yeah, it'll be awesome. Darren, thank you very much for joining us and leading us on this retrospective of awesome black geek characters that we could look into. Where can we find out more about where you're performing and more about the podcast?
Sure. Well, the podcast I do is called the Virgin Chronicles podcast. We're on Stitcher, SoundCloud, and iTunes. I do it with my buddy Evan Morgenstern. And basically, we talk to comedians, performers, you know, musicians, whoever else will talk to us. We basically talk to them about their first times. Doesn't have to be about, you know, first time you had sex. It could be about the first time, your first job, or the first time, you know, your first kiss, first time you got drunk, first time you got arrested, whatever. Any first time thing you have, we want to hear about. Again, that's on Stitcher, SoundCloud, and iTunes. And you can find us on Twitter at VirginChronPod. If you want to get in touch with me, I'm on Twitter and Instagram at Darren Credible, D-A-R-I-N, Credible. And my website is DarrenCredible.com.
Awesome. Thank you very much. And I hope all of you out there are going to get your homework done. Watch some of these things and maybe try to call in about your first times as well. How great would absolutely. It be? How awesome would it be if you could get Timok, the guy who played Bruce Leroy?
Of course. Oh man. That would be.
He played a version. He could talk about anything, really. His first time being in a Barry Gordy movie would be good.
Yeah, I honestly don't know if I can handle that. I don't know if I'm strong enough.
I'd
probably break down and cry.
Yeah.
And just be like, you know, like that Wayne's World, I'm not worthy.
Yeah, I think he's used to it by now.
This has been a Non-Productive Media presentation. Executive producer, Frank Hablawi. This program and many others like it on the Non-Productive Network is distributed under a Creative Commons Attribution Non-Commercial No Derivatives license. Please share it, but ask before trying to change it or sell it. For more information, visit non-productive.com.